Glory to God. God is good. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody's seen, but we had a great victory this week. Praise the Lord. The Supreme Court, ruled in the church's favor on some things. Thank God. Thank God that regardless of what people want to say, thank God that President Trump pushed Amy Coney Barrett through because she was the deciding vote. Said it was good that we have a born-again Christian on the Supreme Court, and we need to be thankful for that. Amen. But there was nothing over there, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, glory to God. We thank God for what he's doing, even there, you know, when it looks like you may lose in one area, God will show you that you gain in another area. And in case anybody doesn't know, that's a good thing that there's a Christian on the Supreme Court. Probably need to get back in the Word and start reading it again, because it's a real good thing that there's a Christian in the Supreme Court. Glory to God. But praise the Lord, when they, we haven't lost everything yet. We're not going to lose everything. Amen. No matter how it looks, no matter what comes out, you know, and that's why we sing songs like that. But, you know, that song just really stirred me and really blesses me. You know, I'll bless the old Lord. You know, the idea is that we bless God no matter what's going on in our lives. And really, that's what today's message is going to be about, knowing that stuff. So let's go ahead and pull up the message. Praise the Lord. You got it. It's not working? Oh, it is working. You didn't get it? Oh, yeah, I sent it to you. See, I was going to play this big joke right now on the sound or the audio visual, a.k.a. Caleb and Ezra. Praise the Lord. I had sent Caleb my scriptures for my message, and I got because I came here with a message, amen. And then at announcements, I finished my other message that I'm preaching today. So the message that we are getting today was not the one that was originally intended for today, but it was intended for today. It wasn't the one I intended for today. Praise the Lord, glory to God. But maybe I'll preach that other one some other time. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But praise the Lord. Today's message is called Living Confidence. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to be, we're going to be talking about confidence in God. And actually, really, this message, the basis for this message was born after Tuesday night service. You know, I was in a conversation, and in that conversation, something stirred, and some words came out of my spirit. Oh, look, there it is, and it's the right one. Hallelujah. Is it spelled right? Just wanted to check. It's even spelled right. Praise the Lord. He did that all on the spot. Glory to God. Caleb, you're really good at it. You're good at stuff back there. Amen. Glory to God. But the message was born out of, out of a conversation that came after being in the service Tuesday night. And so, these things were stirring in me all week. And just to know, I actually had another message. Like I said, I actually had it all written. I'd done it on Tuesday. You know, but this is sometimes how things will happen. You know, I came in here and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to preach the message I had, because I didn't have the other one finish. And then as I sat here in announcements, the Lord finished it. And so, you know, the message is in line with that action. So it's not surprising that that is the way that God's going to do things here today, you know. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that we need to be confident in the Lord and not be confident in us. And when we're confident in the Lord, then things will come out that need to be said. Amen. And so if it's not good, it's not my fault, it's your fault or his fault, one of the two, but it's not my fault because I came with a message ready to preach it. Amen. That's how I get myself out of it. But I'm just kidding. It's going to be good. Amen. Glory to God. So why don't we go ahead where we're going to be talking about trusting in God and especially in trial and stuff like that. So let's turn to Romans. We're going to start Romans 1. Praise God. Romans 1, verse 16. You have to forgive me because I do love sharing the process of things. Part of the reason I love sharing it is because it always perplexes me. You know, it's always just something that, you know, how God works. It amazes me how he does things and, you know, how he will shift and move things, and you know it will always benefit us. Praise the Lord. And so, but the thing that we have to let go of, and he does this on purpose, the thing that we have to let go of is trusting in what we know. See, it's just when you start trusting in what you know that God's going to shift it, move it to something else. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean he's going to change him or he's not going to change the word. but he might change what, or even the plan that he has for you. Amen. But that's probably why he also, part of why he doesn't reveal it all up front to us anyways. But, you know, God will, he doesn't mind us getting out of our comfort zone. He doesn't mind us getting out of our flesh, so to speak. You know, when our flesh is uncomfortable with something, that's okay with God. Because it's not flesh that produces the righteousness of God, amen. It's his word, amen. So we see, start here, Romans 1:16. Read verses 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Now remember, salvation is not just being born again in the sense that you get to go to heaven, but it means much more than that. It means deliverance. It means protection. Amen. It means the ability of God. There's all these things that salvation is all the things that we didn't have before. Amen. And really what it is and what it pertains to is the obstacles that would come against us in life, the things that would hinder us or the things that would stop us from the fullness of what God wants. Amen. Now, when I say the fullness of what God wants, that doesn't always just mean that, you know, the blessing that you receive from God, but the fullness of what God wants is all of his plan. I mean, there's many parts to God's plan. Each one of us is a part of that. We're part of the church. We're part of the plan. But even each church is a part of the plan. And so God's plan is very vast. It's very, very widespread. And so, you know, the salvation brings us to that fullness that God intends for us. Amen. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, and in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, we just read similarly recently in Hebrews, but we also seen that the just shall live by faith. But we see here that it says it again. It also says it once. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where it says, I believe in Habakkuk, something like that, but you know, so this is an important thing to God, that the just shall live by faith. Now, we are justified by God, so we are the just. We are justified by our salvation in Christ, praise the Lord. We are justified by what he did for us. And so that being so, we are the just, amen? And so the just shall live by faith. We are to live by our faith. And our faith is, again, basically our faith is what we believe of God or what we trust in with God, amen? But we have to know that our faith is a lifestyle. It's not something, you know, faith isn't something you go looking for when you're in trouble. Faith is something that we are intended to live in, amen? And our faith is always indicated by our actions. Our actions and our words, you know, what typically comes out of our mouths, the things we normally do. You know, a person of great faith is going to be right in the midst of the plan of God. They're going to be right in the place where God is moving. They're going to always be, you know, when I say where God is moving, they're going to be there not always just because they showed up, but because they knew by the Spirit that they were supposed to be there. So by faith, you will be in the right place at the right time all the time, amen? And so you don't have to worry about, you know, stumbling. And this is what the Bible talks about when it talks about he'll keep the righteous from stumbling. How does he do so? Well, he does so through the leading of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit is that was given to us when Jesus ascended to heaven, praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit came on the inside of us, and he was meant to guide us and lead us into all things, all truth. But the key is we have to learn how to follow him, and we've learned that through the word, amen? And so we see that here, the just shall live by faith, so we need to learn to live by faith. I know we talk about this often. These are things, you know, faith is not something that is uncommon in our circles, praise the Lord. But we talk about it often because that is the thing that pleases God, amen? You know, faith works with love, and love works through, praise the Lord, and hope also is in there, and all these things work together, you know. In 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it says, you know, now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. But we know that those are the three things that abide, that are the strongest. You know, of course, the greatest is love, but that doesn't mean the others don't matter, amen? Hope and expectation of God is in faith, and faith is so important, because faith will lead us into that place. Faith will allow you to open the door to love in areas where maybe you couldn't before. You know, some people, you know, have you ever noticed that there's you probably heard this, where people lose the ability or seemingly lose the ability to love. Maybe they've had something happen in their life, and so it hinders them from, you know, sometimes people, relationships will be hindered from other relationships because they've had bad relationships. And really, that's a ploy of the devil. The devil wants us to be afraid of love. He wants us to be afraid of embracing the truth of what God has given to us. And he does so quite effectively. But the word of God and faith will rise us up out of that, raise us up out of that, and bring us into that place where we can love again, so to speak. Amen? And so we should be people that, you know, we don't get so burnt that we get callous to things, you know, where we don't love anymore, but we know that love is a very important thing. Amen. But the just shall live by faith. And so we're going to have to, you know, if we look through Scripture, the entirety of Scripture is God leading people to that place of faith, a greater level of faith, the trust in God. We have to learn and be solid in trusting in God. And we're going to see that here, even in the midst of trials, we're going to be even in the midst of opposition, even in the midst of the year 2020, praise the Lord, we can still trust God. Even in the midst of elections that don't seem to go our way, we can still trust in God. Even in the midst of worldwide pandemics, we can still trust God. Even in the midst of death around us, we can still trust God. Even in the midst of not feeling well or opposition or losing your job or family breakups or any of these things, we can still trust God. In fact, our only hope is to still trust God. And so if we give up our confidence, you know, the message today is called living confidence. And that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live in confidence, not confidence in us. And if we're living in confidence of us, we'll be disappointed. We'll get to that place where we won't make the mark, amen? Because you're not going to make the mark. There's going to be many areas where you miss it. But we don't have confidence in man. We have confidence in God, amen? Praise the Lord. I have to believe that where the Bible says, what can man do to me? I have to believe that that even has to do with us ourselves. What can we do to ourselves? Praise the Lord, you know. When we have faith in God, God will raise us up even beyond ourselves and put us in areas that are good for us and good for others. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we're going to live. Righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Praise the Lord. That's the same, I guess it's another way really of saying glory to glory. You know, faith, as you have faith, faith will grow in you. As you build faith, more faith comes. As you learn to have, and is there anybody here who's grown in faith where you can honestly say, now if you can't say, you've been here for so long, and you can't say, I'm in a different place than I was when I first came in, then I'm not talking to you. But that's none of you, praise the Lord. But truly, if you're at a greater place of faith, is there an area in your life what maybe used to bother you but wouldn't bother you anymore? Or is there an area that tripped you up before that doesn't trip you up anymore or has less effect on you? And that's exactly what God, through the Bible, is talking about, faith to faith, glory to glory. We start down here, but we end up here, amen? And the sky's the limit. There's no limit on the places that we can ascend to and the places that God will take us, amen, in his plan, because his plan is glorious. It's blessed. It's good, amen? Glory to God. And one thing that we need to know is this, is that God wants our lives to look in such a way that other people look at our lives and say, that's what I want. And so if you're wondering if God wants good things for your life, this is the thing that you can know, is that God, we are to be the light to the earth. Well, if the light is dim, people ain't going to see it. And if the light, if you can't turn the light on, people aren't going to see it. He said, we are the salt of earth. If we don't taste good, the people ain't going to want to eat. Amen. And so we have to understand these things. We have to embrace these things. We have to understand the truth that God wants to do a good work in us. He wants to make our lives examples of his goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Amen. Well, who needs to be led to repentance? It's all the world. The world needs to be led to repentance. And they're not going to be doing it if they're looking at their life, your life, and saying, well, that's miserable. I don't want that. If they're looking at your life and saying, well, I don't want anything to do with it. All they do is they talk about how bad their life is and how bad things are and this and that. And they don't live any different than the rest of us. So why would I want to add church on top of that? And that's the truth. Listen, if your life is miserable, people aren't going to want to add church on top of a miserable life. If your life, if you're living that miserable life, and they're like, well, I'm living the same life as you. You just go to church. I don't want to add that. Why do I want to get up on Sunday morning? There's got to be a reason that we come to gather. There's got to be a reason that we come to get more of the Word of God. And the world needs to know what that reason is. And the way that they're going to know it is not just by what you say, but by how you live your life. When people look, you ask yourself this, when people look at my life, do they see God working or do they see me working? Do they see God moving in my life or do they see just me doing the same old thing? Amen. And if that's the truth, then you, that's an area that you need to work on, that you need to take before the Lord and say, God, we need to change this. Amen. Because the Bible says that he is co-laborers with us. He wants to work with us. He wants to work in us. But we have to allow him to do that work. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So we're here in Romans. Let's turn over to Mark. Praise God. Mark 11. Word of God will help us every time. Mark 11, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Mark 11, 12 says, now the next day when they had come out from and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Now, what we see here, of course, and there's lots of, you know, there's lots of other understandings, but one of the things that we understand about fig trees is that when they have leaves, they're supposed to also have figs. Amen. And so Jesus was coming to this tree expecting to find fruit. Find fruit. He didn't find any. And so he answered, the Bible says. And I love, you know, it says in verse 14, in response, Jesus said to it. And so what we see here is what we have to ask ourselves, what was Jesus responding to? Jesus was looking, he was not looking at the tree and saying, talking to the tree as if the tree had a personality. It was going to talk back to him. Jesus wasn't crazy. But what he was doing is he was responding to the lack that was presented before him. And I love this set of scriptures because it's so clear of what's happening here. And it's so clear how Jesus lived. And this is one of those examples where he's teaching us how to live. Amen? He didn't do this for himself. He didn't do this. In fact, I'll tell you right now, the fig tree didn't wither up because Jesus was so angry at the fig tree because it wasn't producing. Because we also know that Jesus said, when the devil was tempting Jesus, and he wasn't lying, but when the devil was tempting Jesus, he said, command these rocks to be turned into bread, right? Jesus knew that he had the power to do so. I mean, if he had the power to multiply fish and bread, he also had the power to change things, water into wine. I'm sure he could turn rocks into bread. Amen? So that wasn't a lie at all. In fact, we know that it wasn't a lie because it was a temptation. And no temptation is not something that doesn't present reality to you. Amen? Temptation is always presenting something that's real to your flesh. Amen? And so Jesus knew that that was something that he could do. That's why the devil tempted him there. But so Jesus wasn't just worked up at the tree. He wasn't just mad at the tree. But you remember that everything that Christ did, he was doing for a lesson. He was doing to teach something. He was teaching us and showing us the way of the Lord, the way that God would have us to walk through life. And so in this moment, Jesus said, he cursed the tree. And, you know, then we see that it just kind of goes on from there. But I like what it says there at the end of verse 14. It also says, and the disciples heard it. And so Jesus said, let no one eat fruit of you ever again. And he kind of just drops it from there and then just moves on. Doesn't say he goes and finds food. He just moves on to the next town, the next thing. Amen. And so that's an important aspect of a faith walk. Is when you come up against something, you deal with it, and then you move on. Amen? That's one of the first things we see, and one of the important things in this message that was important in walking out faith is that we don't linger on things that are producing no fruit. Amen? We don't stay at the fig tree that's producing no fruit. I'm saying something here. I'm trying to get something over you. We don't stay where there's no fruit. If there's no fruit produced in it, you know, Jesus didn't say, well, I'm going to sit around the fig tree and wait for it to produce. He didn't say, I'm going to command. He could have probably just as easily commanded the fig tree to produce fruit. But he didn't do that, did he? He didn't even bother with it. He said, there's no fruit here. I'm moving away from it. Folks, how many of us in our lives would be changed if we would stop with things that don't produce fruit and just move on and go on to something else? Because Jesus knew this. This one don't want to produce? Fine. It won't be blessed. This fig tree won't have they can't put the historical marker at this fig tree saying the Son of God ate fruit here. Because wouldn't you believe that if they knew that Jesus ate fruit there, that there would be somebody with a gift shop outside of that fig tree selling bronze fig leaves or fig leaf pins or fig pins or pens or whatever. They'd be selling fig hats. Amen? They'd be selling figgy pudding. They'd be selling something with figs in it, but they would be doing so. This is where Jesus was, you know. And so they, no blessing to you. You don't get that place, you know, praise the Lord. And so Jesus just moved on. Yeah. Folks, like our lives, when we have something go wrong in our lives, when we have something that seems like it turns the corner, it's opposite of what we think, you know what you got to do? You just move on. Just keep swimming. That's what you do, you know. Was it Dory that did that? Just keep swimming. Just keep going. Amen. It's all we put all this stuff in front of our kids, and we let them learn all this stuff, and we don't learn anything by it. We learn the song, but we don't learn what we got to do. Just move on. We just got to keep going. Amen. Because faith doesn't stop for nothing. Faith doesn't stop for opposition. Faith doesn't stop and sit there and go, well, I wonder what we're going to do. Faith says, no, when I need to know what I got to do, I'll know what I got to do. And I'm just going to go on believing that, even though I don't know what it is right now. Praise God. That's how I came to the message today. Praise the Lord, you know, and that's how we got to do things sometimes. We just got to come before the Lord and say, God, I trust you. I trust you enough that you're in my life. You've given me the Holy Spirit. You haven't brought me this far to fail. Has God brought you this far? Not to fail, though, right? Yeah, amen. But he's brought you this far. You got here somehow, amen. Look around you. There's somebody probably in this room that got further than you did. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to point them out. I ain't going to point out the ones who got further. But if you're the one who's got to the top place and you're at the top place, you say, oh, no, who am I looking at? Well, you just keep looking because somebody else will be around that will be gotten farther than you. I'm talking about people who grow older. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God's got more for you. Amen. And so there's another day. There's another there's more ability. There's more things that God wants us to get into. Amen. So the disciples heard it. And these are given to us. Now let's skip on down. Now we know he went into another town there and did some things. Praise the Lord. And so now we come down here to Mark 11:20. Glory to God. Mark 11:20. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen. This is the whole point to all of this. Live life in faith. The just shall live by faith. Praise God. You know, you can live without faith. You did for a long time, probably. You can live without faith, but God has given us a way to live in faith, and that's the place where we're supposed to live. Amen. Where does sorrow come from in life? A lack of faith. Where does the inability to win or the inability to get over the next mountain, the inability to keep going, where does all that stuff come from? It comes from a lack of faith. The ability to do so is all born out of faith. And so if we're going in faith is literally the trust in God, trust in his word, trust that it's the truth. Amen. If we're not hung up on the fact that this is the facts, amen, that our life is somehow more justified than what the word says, we're going to lose the blessing of the Lord. We're going to lose what God has for us. Amen. So Jesus says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you. Now, this is the Son of God saying to his disciples, an absolute fact, an absolute sure thing. If whenever God, you know, you got to look at this. Whenever God says this is an absolute fact, it would probably do us good to really embrace that truth. Amen? Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I love the fact that it says the word says. It doesn't say pleads for. It doesn't say the things he begs. That word says literally, it also means to call. You know, instantly when I hear this, I think about that scripture in Romans. It's talking about when it's talking about Abraham, and it's talking about the faith that Abraham said, Abraham had. And it said that he knew that he was assured that God, that when he was asked to sacrifice Isaac, he knew that he could do so with confidence, knowing that God could raise him back to life again if he was truly the plan, which God says that he was. And what does he say? He's talking about God. He says, who calls those things that be not as though they were. Calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, God made us in his likeness and his image. And he tells us to do the same thing. Jesus tells us to do the same thing here. He says, whatever you call out, whatever you say, whatever you speak out, speak forth in faith. That's what the connection is here. Is whatever we speak in faith, what we truly believe is what we're going to see. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This works on the negative spectrum too. If you sit around and you talk about, if you're calling out bad things all the time and you believe that this is the way that it is, guess what? You will bring curse, so to speak, on your life. You will open the door for bad things to happen. You will open the door for the devil to come in and do bad things because it's what you believe. If you have an expectation of evil, you will see evil. But if you have an expectation of good, you will see good. It all comes down to faith. It all comes down to what we believe. Amen. The people who get raised up out of the mire and get put on a new path, a path that's blessed, are people who call those things that be not as though they were. Now, you have to understand, you know, this, like Jesus walking on water is something that's possible, but it's not something that's probable. You're probably not going to walk up to a tree just because you don't like it and curse it and have it die. And the reason I can say this is because of this. One of the things that we knew about Christ is that he was fully led by the Holy Spirit. That he was, the Bible says he had the Spirit without measure. Amen. And so he was fully led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not just showing us how to walk, but he was showing us how to walk according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. He was teaching us how to follow God. Amen. And this is such an important part of our lives. And this is the key, the difference between the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh and the Lord, is that our flesh is our natural inclinations, our natural desires, our natural things that we believe are going, you know, that we want to happen. You know, like if you know, I don't think the Holy Spirit has ever led me to eat a Kit Kat, but my wife did last night. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we know that, God isn't dealing with the flesh. Now, that's not to say, I shouldn't say he never would, because there's times where God has had me do completely ridiculous things just because he knew it was going to bless me. And God will lead you in some of those things. But God is not going to make the focus of your life all the little things that you want. It's not going to be like, oh, you get party favors every minute of life. Amen. Glory to God, because God does have good things for us, and he will bless us exceedingly. We have to understand that comes in his process of things, amen? That can't be our focus, amen? And so when Jesus walked on water, it was what? He was teaching them a lesson, that nothing was impossible to him who believes. That's what he was teaching them. It's not that, I'm going to believe that I can walk on water. That's not the point. The point is if the Holy Spirit leads you to walk on water, and you need to, and he has a purpose in it, guess what will happen if you believe? You'll walk on water. And see, sometimes people get they get the understanding of these things a little bit mixed up. They say, well, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, but that doesn't mean all of us should speak to fig trees. Now, with the purpose of teaching, we see these things in common everyday life. Praise the Lord. Me standing here preaching a message, I don't think is any less a miracle than causing a fig tree to die by speaking to it. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is my own opinion, but it's my opinion based on what I know about me. That I don't have the ability to do the things in of myself that God would call me to do. But because he has placed the ability in me, I can do those things. And so whatever God has called us to in life, what Spirit leads us into, we need to have complete confidence that not only can we do it, but we will be successful as we do it. And that because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, or those who diligently care about his plan and his purpose, because of that, God will always reward us for doing so. Amen? And that's the other side of this, is that God wants to reward us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So have faith in God. In other words, this is in context. You know, I don't believe that if you just go out and you start saying, you know, I'm going to have that Lamborghini, that car is mine. You know, I don't believe that it necessarily works for that. Now, I'm not saying that if that's a true desire of your heart and that you serve God, that he'll never provide that. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think that the purpose of these scriptures was so that we could just go around claiming stuff for our house. So we could just go, you know, building our own lives. So we could go, because what I truly believe about God, and this is going to probably differ even from what some other family church pastors might say. I don't know if they would or not. But what I truly believe of God is that we don't have to seek out our own lives. That we don't have to seek out. We don't have to concern ourselves with it. It doesn't mean that you can't desire things or want to desire things. I think it's great to desire things and want to desire things. In fact, the Lord has shown me over my life that if I don't desire greater, I probably won't ever see greater, because faith will take you there. But the thing I'm talking about is where we spend so much time just focused on life, on the things of life, and just, you know, just getting things to change, because the Bible just doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches quite the opposite of that, and that is when something is unfruitful, you move on. Praise the Lord. You know, I've had many thoughts over the years that are very unfruitful, and so I just move on. I've learned to just move on from them. But then there'll be other things that all of a sudden, when you start to follow God, what happens is when you start distinguishing between the flesh and the voice of God, what happens is God will start dropping little bits into your spirit. Boom, there'll be a little bit, and there'll be a desire of something. It'll be a desire of something for you. I said it'll be a desire of something for you. But this is, you know, notice where I place this. After you learn to start following God, after you've given everything, after you've given up everything, after you said, you know what, Lord, you can have everything. Every Christian needs to come to the place where they say, Lord, I don't need anything anymore. I just need you. Praise the Lord. And when you come to that place, truly come to that place, you'll start hearing the voice of God. And when you start hearing the voice of God, what's going to happen is he's going to start making things clear to you. And then he's going to start dropping desires in you. And when you get those desires, you'll know that they're not you. Praise the Lord. You'll know that they're God. And when you know that they're God, what's going to happen is you're going to speak them out, and you're going to say them, praise the Lord, from a place of faith. And then guess what happens? They come to pass. We've had stuff like that. I had stuff just this year. Last year, I'm not going to go into all the details, but last year I was in Corey. I was in my office in Corey. And something that I haven't thought about in years, something I used to desire but just didn't have a desire for it anymore. It was dropped in my heart. And when I say desire for it anymore, I mean I thought it was cool or whatever. But it was something that I just thought, you know something? I don't need to spend any time on this. And I certainly don't need to spend any money on this. Amen? And so all of a sudden, I came out and I said to a couple of the ushers that were there, and I said it to them on purpose, because when I came out, I wanted it to be a witness. I said, I'm going to get such and such this year. Now, that was at the beginning of the year. Praise the Lord. And I just said that as a matter of fact. And I even started looking at some stuff. I started looking along that lines, you know, because if you, you know, one of the things faith does is it looks out and sees. I recognize it was of God and not of me, amen. So at any rate, then all of a sudden the pandemic happens. And when the pandemic happened, when all that stuff came out, I stopped thinking about a lot of stuff that I wanted and just started thinking about what I got to do. I mean, what do we got to do to survive? I mean, at one point, remember, we were even looking for toilet paper, right? Praise the Lord. Now, when the Lord had led my wife praise the Lord, led my wife ahead of time, and we had some to keep us enough, a lot of things, because that's what God will do. You remember God led Joseph that way. He told him, he said, there's going to be a famine in the land. He didn't say you're going to avoid the famine. He said, there's going to be a famine. Start what? Start preparing for it. Amen? See, this is why it's important to start learning the direction of the Holy Ghost. Because when he starts leading us, he's going to tell us, listen, something good or something not good is about to happen. You're going to be in the midst of it. Listen, all Christians want to pray everything away. We just pray it away. Get it out of here. We don't want to deal with it anymore. That's not God, and that's not faith. Faith is you stand in the midst of famine, and you get blessed anyways. That's what faith is. I said that's what true faith is. Faith is not just praying something away, because sometimes things have to happen. I got to believe, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You want a little bit of what I believe? I believe that some things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. And I'm going to tell you why right now. Because as bad as this pandemic was, as bad as the election cycle was and all this stuff, one thing it did not do is it did not fill these seats. And until these seats are full, people aren't truly suffering. Praise the Lord. Because when they have nothing else to go on but seeking out God for goodness, I'm just telling you the truth. And if you cannot believe me, you can disagree with me, and that's fine. But I'm telling you the Bible teaches us otherwise. The Bible says, don't you be afraid of it. There'll be a lot of things around you. Don't you be afraid of it. Like, listen, we're tempted to be afraid of it, aren't we? We know if there's anything we've learned by 2020 is there's a temptation to be afraid of what's going on. But the Bible says that we need to live in faith. We need to live above that temptation to be afraid. Amen? But, you know, part of the direction of the Lord will be practical wisdom, just like he told Joseph. He said, save for the next 7 years, right? Told him to save, and that's what he did, and he saved. And they built these storehouses, and all of a sudden there was a famine in the land. Where did everybody go for help? To the one who was godly, the one who was hearing from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And so this is the way that we need to be. Anyways, back to my story. Go through this year, and we get into all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I completely forgot about it in the midst of all that chaos. Stop thinking about it. I walked away from it. I went on to Jerusalem, glory to God. I went to something else, and I truly didn't care. It wasn't something that was like, it wasn't like it was a desire in me that was driving me like, oh, I got to have this thing. But you know what happened? All of a sudden, in the midst of the famine, I get a phone call, and I get an offer. And we'll just put it this way, the offer was one that I couldn't refuse. And so we took it. And you know something, that it produced something in our lives that we didn't, and it didn't take anything away from our lives, but it produced extra peace in our lives. It produced an extra ability for my wife and I to enjoy each other and stuff like that, and to have, you know, time together. And so this is what I'm talking about. This is how God works. Famine doesn't matter to God. A pestilence doesn't matter to God. You know, I'm talking about famine and stuff, but yeah, obviously. But there was a bit of famine that's been caused in the land. Because when you look at businesses closing up, when you look at restaurants closing down or getting so expensive you can't eat there anymore. Because we've seen that too. But what does God do to the faithful? He still blesses them. Amen? And I'm sure that if you look at your own lives, there's probably areas in your own life that God has also done that in. But I'm telling you that there's more for us. There's more for us to do. And this is what the speaking is about. The reason I spoke to the ushers was because I wanted them to see when it come to pass. I wanted them to be witnesses of God's goodness. Because it was just a random thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see that here. Glory, where am I? Yep. You'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Praise the Lord. And so God's teaching us a very important truth here by his word and by the fig tree. We need to trust in what we say. Now, in connection to this, I want to turn over to James 4. The difference between pure desire and lust, pure desire meaning what God would have for us or would be okay with. I always say it this way. I said it last night this way. when my wife and I got together, when we first got together, we were really interested in each other. We loved, nobody could do anything wrong. Those first few weeks or whatever, you know, when it's, we call it the honeymoon period, where everything is just wonderful and you're nothing but gaga and goo goo and all those things, and you're looking at each other. That is not called love. It's called lust. Yeah. Amen. That is lust. Now, lust, lust is a strong desire in the flesh that is only flesh. That's what it is. Now, I will say this. It is, you know, sometimes lust is a typical human emotion. It's not something that doesn't have to be bad, praise the Lord, because that wasn't bad that my wife and I were head over heels about each other, because it probably would have been a lot harder to get into this blessed marriage if we didn't like each other. Amen? Praise the Lord. But sometimes that happens too. Amen? But what I'm saying is that we know that that wears off. The reason why relationships fail, listen to me here. If you want a relationship, you're in a relationship, having an issue with the relationship, you've seen a relationship, you're going to counsel somebody with a relationship, or you're just interested in relationships, listen to this. Amen? The reason that people fall out of love is not because they fell out of love. What they've really fallen out of is lust. The natural ability for it to be exciting has kind of faded away, and it would be much more exciting to have something new. Listen to me, because this is why the dating world looks the way it does in America, because people are like, oh, I love him or her so much. I'm so excited. They're so beautiful. I just can't wait. And I get all up, and you get there, and a few months later, you know, they fart in bed. To just be honest with you. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. You didn't do that when I first met you. Praise the Lord. It's truth. Glory to God. And so you get to that place and you're like, well, I'm done with this now. My wife had a high school boyfriend, she said, or middle school boyfriend, you know, back then it didn't mean anything. But she left him because he farted, amen. And that's it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm glad I married her first. That's all I'm saying. You don't always got to expose all your habits all up front. In fact, it's not good to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, how many pastors are preaching on that this morning? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it woke you all up. It certainly did. One four-letter F word, and everybody's just got. Wow, so talking about fart. Praise the Lord. James 4:1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Well, praise the Lord. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You want to know what's interesting about this word pleasure? We're going to see it a couple of times in these set of scriptures. But this word pleasure in the Greek, you know, I love how the Spirit will direct me to do this. I looked it up, and I'm going to try to pronounce it in Greek. It's like hedon or something like that. But it's the same root word for the word hedonism. Have you ever heard the word hedonism? Yeah, they come from the same place. So this word pleasure and the word hedonism come from the same place. Now, hedonism, if you didn't know, is not a good thing. It literally means the pursuit of pleasure or sensual self-indulgence. And a lot of times when the word hedonism is used, it's referring to acts, you know, that married couples should be doing, but people aren't doing them in married relationships, but they're doing them with a bunch of other people. And that's, you know, places that promote hedonism. A lot of times it has unbridled sexual appetites involved in it. Amen? But the same word for pleasures come from that same word. And I just thought that was really interesting as the Holy Spirit pointed that out to me this morning. And I, you know, I say the Holy Spirit pointed it out to me, but then I went and researched it and it was the truth. I've learned to do that every once in a while, and it's good. Praise the Lord. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come, you know, of course, wars and fights is not necessarily talking about, you know, World War III big, you know, battles. But even those, a lot of times we know that those are based in money and stuff like that. You know, people's, man, I got to get going here. Praise the Lord. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? See, why do you enter into sin? Because you have a desire in you, an unchecked, unbridled desire that's driving you. And if you don't check it, or if you don't bridle it, or you don't control it, then you enter into a relationship or something that, and we're speaking specifically of relationships, you enter into something that is ungodly, God intended. And what is that? You're just fulfilling that. But then when trouble comes, you wonder why there's trouble there. It's because it wasn't built in God. This is why marriages fail. Not because they're built on God. It's because they're, see, if you build a marriage on God, it will never fail. You don't have to worry about it. But marriages that are built on, oh, I liked you, you like me, and so we hopped in the sack together, that doesn't build a good relationship. Yeah. What that builds is that starts building for you a path to destruction. And we're going to see that here, amen? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And that word ask is the same word ask that we saw back there in Mark 11, amen? Mark 11, 24. You do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So see, a lot of people are going to God because they have these desires. So they go to God and they're saying, Lord, fulfill this desire. And he's saying, I'm not part of hedonism. I'm not part of just your sensual desires, your unchecked and unbridled desires. I'm not going to fulfill that. And that's why so many people are going to God and asking them for something. People are going to God and they're saying, Lord, we need more money. They say, well, you're not faithful with the money you have. Why would I bring you more? Yeah. That's hedonism. It's the same thing as unbridled sexual desire. It's the same thing. You want more of this or more of that. You know, I mean, even in any area of life, I want a better job. But you're not faithful with the one you got. Yeah. Why would I bless you? Are you being an example of me in the place that you work currently? You see, that's what a lot of people don't understand. They're like, well, I just don't like this job, so I'm going to be miserable. Well, guess what? God ain't going to bless you with a better job if you're miserable in the one that you got. Because you're miserable. The reason you're miserable is not because you have faith in God. It's because you're trusting in your job for your happiness. See, if you can trust in God, you'll be happy anywhere you're at. Praise the Lord. And I'm correcting me too. I'm just telling you the truth. It doesn't matter where you go or where God sends you. If you trust in him, you can be completely content and completely full wherever that is and whatever state that is. And you know what happens after that place, after you get to that place or start entering into that place? Even as you break through the door, I mean, you don't even get into the door. You start opening the door of just trying to follow God and being a blessing to him. And you know what he does? He's like, oh, here's something. He's got a candy dish at the door waiting for you. You ain't even got to go in. You just reach in and pick one out and go eat it. You go back into your old life, and he'll let you even do that for a little while. See, because that's how good God is. He'll give you a taste. He says, there's more stuff beyond that. See, a lot of people, they get all fascinated with the candy dish, and they don't realize that there's a whole feast on the other side. They don't realize that there's rooms. You know, you there's one door into God. A lot of people don't realize that there's rooms, there's mansions, there's buildings full of God. And the things that he has for you and the things that he wants to do. But see, we're so focused on this little, oh, if I get this one pleasure that I want because I need it right now. I got to have it right now. Give it to me right now. Praise the Lord. That's not God. Adulterers and adulteresses. You know, it's interesting he uses that phrase here. Because to be an adultery means that you're cheating on the one who you're in covenant with. Listen to this. When you put down God to have the things that you want, you're cheating on God to have adultery with something else. And a lot of times it's something that's worthless. I have seen people give up God over various relationships that last for a month. They give them up. They give up God for just to go have this pleasure for a little while. Stupid. Why would you give up the only one who can truly bless you, the one who can fill you, for this one, for a moment of pleasure? And yet people do it. People do it all the time. Adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about that unbridled passion, you know, just for things that don't matter. Look, it's just like there's nothing wrong with liking stuff. But when stuff is the focus of your life, when something else is the focus, anything other than God is the focus of your life, praise the Lord. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It's at odds with God. It's an enemy of God, amen? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of an enemy of God. How do you make yourself a friend of the world? I want everything the world has. I want to be just like the world. I want to do what the world does. I'm just going to do what the world does, even if you're not saying I want to, but you just go out and do what the world does. You're making yourself an enemy of God. When you live like the world, you're an enemy of God. Well, praise the Lord. And that's as far as going there. Glory to God. Now, this is the point that I wanted to get to. This is the point that I said all that to say this. Amen. Turn with me to John 7:38. This is going to help you, and this is going to bless you. You know, something the Lord was showing us yesterday. On the way down to Corey was how people look at God wrong. You know, so often they're asking, like, well, God, why are you withholding from me? And the Bible says that he doesn't withhold anything from them who walk uprightly. Amen? And so you're going to the wrong source. You're going to the wrong place. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit is intended to lead us into all that God has for us. John 7:38. And 39. Jesus said, he who believes in me. Well, let's go back up to 37 first. Let's go there first. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so he equates living a life full of the Holy Spirit. He says, come to me. So you have to come to Jesus. If you're thirsty, if you're without, the idea of being thirsty is not, oh, I just want to drink. If you want to drink a water, go to the faucet, get a drink of water. Amen? That's not what he's talking about. What he was talking about, if anyone lacks in life, if anyone isn't, you know, if there's something missing in your life, come to me and drink. Because when you come to me, I'm translating this. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and out of that Holy Spirit, out of your heart, will flow rivers of living water. This is where, when I told you last Tuesday, when I was in the conversation, this is where it came from. See, so often we read scriptures about like being full and God protecting us and God keeping us and all this stuff. And what we think is we always take what we think about it needs to look like, and we project that on God's word. And so what a lot of people do, the reason people interpret this differently and wrong, is because they interpret the scripture through their understanding, instead of conforming their understanding to the scripture. When you conform your understanding to the scripture, you will find the truth. But when you try to interpret this through your old understanding of life, what you're going to find is untruths. You're going to find a lot of inconsistencies. And so this is what a lot of people do. Because they sit there and they say, well, God says that if I do this and I do that, they'll be blessed. And so I did that and I did this. And then all of a sudden, something bad happened. And what the Lord showed me was this. Before he connected it with these scriptures, he said it's like a river. Now, if you're standing on the banks of a river, amen, and say you're collecting water out of the river, as you when you're standing at the bank of the river, what's before you doesn't matter as much as what comes. Amen? Because one thing you know about a river, if you watch especially a fast-moving river, is that whatever is here is only here for a brief second and it's gone. But the rivers of living water, there's a constant flow, isn't there? So when you're in the constant flow of God, it doesn't matter what's before you. When there's opposition before you, it doesn't matter because what's coming is greater. What's coming is better. What's coming is more. And if nothing else, what's coming is different. And so what we have to understand is that regardless what it looks like. God isn't speaking of every single moment of our life. He didn't say every single moment of your life, it's going to look like you have every single thing you need. That is not what the scriptures teach us. The scriptures teach us that as you trust God, you are in a flow that is different than the world's flow. Now, the world's flow is dammed up. The world's flow isn't flowing. The world's flow isn't moving. It's stale. It becomes a swamp. Any water that stops moving, what happens to it? It becomes stagnant, and it stinks, and it's full of stuff that's no good for you. And that's exactly what the world is. They're stuck in a swamp. But God's flow flows a river of living water, of pure water. And as it flows through our lives, as we allow it to flow through our lives, then this is why Paul said, I can be content no matter what state I'm in. Because even if I'm in a place where I don't have everything that I want, one thing I know is that I'm standing on the bank of a river. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Glory to God. Remember that in Psalm 1? I'm standing there being fed by everything that's coming past. And it's going to be flowing to me, and the flow isn't going to stop. Because something we know about God is His flow doesn't stop. Praise the Lord. We get into a puddle on the bank, and we think we're doing good. We get into a little marshy area over here, and maybe we think we got something. And the whole time, God says, I just want it to flow. I just want it to flow. I'm going to flow. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What is he talking about? Why would he say rivers of living water? Well, when the Bible talks about water, and we know this about water anyways, that without water, life is impossible. In fact, they're looking all over the universe for planets that are inhabitable or that could possibly have life. And what's the first thing they look for? Water. Do you think that that wasn't a design by God? Your body is, majority of your body, 70+% or 70% or whatever is water. Praise the Lord. And so what do we know about that? Water is the source of life. And so that's exactly what God says. Out of their belly, out of their heart will flow. When you get the Holy Spirit, out of your belly will flow, or out of your heart will flow. I'm quoting King James, New King James, go back and forth, but that's literally what it means, is your heart. Out of your heart will flow these rivers of living water, the water that you need for life, not physical water. Hopefully there's not water running out of your belly. Your heart. Amen. But this flow of God, and that's what he's talking about. And this is what it specifically heard in my spirit. A river isn't a matter of what's currently in front of you, but the flow. Be in God's flow, and there's always a supply. There's always more coming. See, that's the thing with God, is it's like, even if there's nothing now, this is why you can rejoice, because there's more coming. Amen. You know, when you look at a river that's been flooded and really over flooded, you know, what do you normally, if you see images of it, what do you see? You see stuff flowing down. It's bringing cars. It's bringing houses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It brings all kinds of things down your way. Amen. In fact, I've seen people that live on the river and they build things out of the stuff that floats down, free of charge. Amen. But what God has for us isn't junk. You know, his isn't a muddy river that's all polluted and stinky and all that stuff. His water is pure. And so whatever comes in his flow is pure. God wants, his desire is to pour out into our lives, but our hearts have to be connected with him. Our hearts have to be not so much like, you know, what's in it for me, but knowing that there's stuff in it for you. Like, God's given us enough to know that, and we can't shy away from that. God has done things for us. For God's sakes, he saved you. He sent his son to save you. And he sent his son to so you would know that you can trust his flow. So are we going to trust his flow? When there's trials, when there's opposition, when there's things that are coming against you, are you going to look at those and say, well, looks like it's all bad again? Or are we going to say, you know what? I'm in God's flow. Praise the Lord. And I would say this, even if you're not in God's flow, start claiming, I'm in God's flow. Why? Because the Bible says that whatsoever you believe when you say, you'll have those things that you say. So if you start saying enough, you'll start believing it enough. And if you start believing it enough, you'll start having it. Because that is the desire of God. You know, one of the things, one of the curses in our society right now is media. In all forms, whether it's regular media or social media. They're literally, it is unreal. The amount of lies that are being perpetuated through media and doing it constantly. Praise the Lord. And I could go into a whole bunch of things, but I'm not. It isn't conspiracy theory stuff. It's just the truth. It is lie after lie after lie. But you know what's happening? Christians believe it because that's what they saturate themselves with. Whatever you hear over and over, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Whatever you hear over and over, that's going to be the course of your life. That's going to be the flow that you're in. Hear the word. Fill yourself with the word and look at that stuff and say, it doesn't matter. It's not my truth. My truth is the word of God. My truth is the flow that God has for me. When Christians start learning to do that, then the world is going to start looking at us and saying, man, that's what I want. I want some of that because this flow isn't a flow at all. This is stale. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me close with these scriptures. John, go ahead and just pull them up, Caleb. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. We have in him. In Jesus. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, go to the next one. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that what? We have. It's a matter of fact. But go back to the other scripture. If we ask anything according to his will is in that flow. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we could always know his will. And whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we're supposed to get into, that the Holy Spirit will lead us into it. So we have to have the desire in us, first and foremost, not for things, but for the direction of the Holy Spirit. When we put that desire ahead of everything else, then you're going to find a flow that is unstoppable. A flow into your life that will not be hindered, that will not be stopped. Amen. And folks, that's what this church intends to do. Amen.